Okay, the shiur this evening is sponsored by Marty and Fran Shulman, marking the yahrzeit tonight of Fran's father, Yaakov Moshe Ben Meir. The neshama should have an aliyah. Should see Moshe Nachas Ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and Ma'isim Tovim that the family is involved in. The Torah that we're going to share tonight, L'Kovod Sukkos, is our ideas that we've shared before, but you know, the nature of our shul is that the people at one shiur aren't necessarily at another shiur. And it happens to be a very thought-provoking idea, so I thought it'd be worthwhile sharing it again. If you've heard it before, great. If you haven't heard it before, great. And hopefully if you've heard it before, also good, because we'll just try to present the ideas. They're very, very fascinating ideas. This is largely taken from a tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg. This is from Chelek Zayin, Simen Lamed Aleph, where he's responding to an article that was written by Rabbi Yisrael Veltz. And Rabbi Veltz, in his Torah article, wanted to make the following argument. Rabbi Veltz wrote that, in his opinion, the mitzvos of Sukkah and Dalet Minim did not apply, were not carried out by the Jewish people during the 40 years that they were in the desert. And they only became applicable, Klal Yisrael only began keeping these mitzvos of Sukkah and Dalet Minim once they came into Eretz Yisrael. Interesting. What's Rabbi Veltz's basis for making this statement? So Rabbi Veltz points to the Kriyas HaTorah, which we just did over the 2 days of Sukkos, and he points out an oddity, which on the surface is very difficult to understand. So again, we read from Parshas Emor, for the first 2 days of Sukkos. Parshas Emor describes all of the Yom Tovim, and the last of the Yom Tovim that it describes is Sukkos. So in Perichov Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, Daber B'nei Yisrael Leimar, B'chamisha Osar Yom L'chodesh Hashvi Azeh, Chag HaSukkah Shivas Yomim L'Hashem. The 15th of Tishrei is a 7-day holiday called Sukkos. B'yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, the first day is the Yom Tov Shivas Yomim, Takrivu Isha L'Hashem, you have to bring korbanos. And then, the eighth day, is a Yom Tov, fine. Eile Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Mikroi Kodesh. Summary Pasuk, these are all of the Yom Tovim, right? The Pasukim had gone through all of the Yom Tovim of the year. Summary, these are all of the Yom Tovim. Comes Pasuk, so okay, we're done. We summarized everything that has to do with all of the Yom Tovim. Comes Pasuk Lamites and says, Ach, however, V'chamisha osor yom l'chodesh hashvi ba'osbichem es tfuas ha'orez tochogruz chag Hashem shivas yomim. When you're gathering in the produce, you should celebrate God's holiday for 7 days. V'lekachtem lochem b'yom harishon priyetz hodar. There's a mitzvah of Dalet Minim that you're supposed to fulfill midaraisa on the first day. Basukos teshvu shivas yomim. And you're supposed to sit in sukkos for 7 days. And only after introducing these concepts, Vaydaber Moshe's Moadei Hashem Bnei Yisrael, so then Moshe told over the halachas of the Moadim of the Yom Tovim to Klal Yisrael. So you read the Pesukim, it's very jarring. Here the Pasuk describes Sukkos, and then it says, okay, these are the Yom Tovim, Eila Moadei Hashem. Ach, however, you should know, oh, we forgot something, P.S., there's a mitzvah of Dalet Minim, and there's a mitzvah of Sukkah. The presentation is very, very odd. Normally you would say that the Torah would present the concept of the Yom Tov, and then the Torah would present all of the dinim that have to do with the Yom Tov. Here the way the Torah presents the concept of Sukkos, it presents the concept, it finishes, it says, okay, we're done. Oh, we forgot, by the way, there's a mitzvah of Dalet Minim and a mitzvah of Sukkah. So comes Rabbi Veltz in his piece, and he suggests that what the Torah is suggesting over here is exactly this point. The mitzvahs of Dalet Minim and Sukkah didn't apply when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Klal Yisrael in the desert. They would only apply 40 years later. So Mimela, that's the presentation of the Torah. There's a Yom Tov called Sukkos. Right now, the way you observe Sukkos is You keep the first day as a holiday. You keep the eighth day as a holiday. The first day is a Yom Tov. The eighth day is a Yom Tov. Ach, however, you should know that when you get to Eretz Yisrael, there are going to be these new mitzvos, the mitzvah of Dalet Minim and the mitzvah of Sukkah. And that concept, that these aspects of the mitzvah, of the Yom Tov of Sukkot were only added later on, they only became relevant later on, that explains the strange presentation that you have in the Chumash itself. So apparently when Rabbi Veltz wrote this in his article, many, many people jumped on him. They were very taken aback and very upset with the notion that you know, these fundamental mitzvahs of Sukkot would not have applied at such a, you know, during the 40 years that Klal Yisrael were in the desert. And Rabbi Veld said that the svara behind why these mitzvahs would not apply, I mean, you know, okay, why should that be? So he says, very simple svara. Number one, in terms of Dalet Minim, where did the Jews have the Dalet Minim to be able to get in the desert? They couldn't find Lulavim and Esrogim. And number two, in terms of Sukkah, what is the Sukkah? The Sukkah is a memorial. It's a Zecher. It reminds us of the Anani HaKavod, of the clouds of glory that enveloped the Jewish people in the desert. What do I need the Anani HaKavod? What do I need, rather, a Zecher to the Anani HaKavod when I have the actual Anani HaKavod? I have the real deal. I don't need to remember the Anani HaKavod. I have the actual Anani HaKavod themselves. So again, Rabbi Veltz had many, many people who were very upset with this article. So he wrote to Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Waldenberg, to find out, am I totally off base? Or might there be something to my suggestion? So Rabbi Waldenberg writes back in the tshuva that he thinks there's actually a lot to support Rabbi Veltz's contention, but not based on his own svaras. And Rabbi Waldenberg goes on to present what he thinks is even better evidence for Rabbi Veltz's position than Rabbi Veltz himself presented in the article. First, with regard to the idea of Dalet Minim, why would it be, conceptually, that Dalet Minim would only apply in after the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael? So, the Tzitz Eliezer quotes from the Mar Nevuchim of the Rambam, but the Mar Nevuchim of the Rambam wants to know why we have a mitzvah of Dalet Minim. What are we? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give us this mitzvah? So the Rambam in Mar Nevuchim writes the following. Just quote the Lashon. It's in Chelek Gimel, Perek Mem Gimel. Why do we take Dalet Minim? Writes the Rambam. Shehem simcha b'tseisam min hamidbar. The Dalet Minim represented a source of happiness for Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they had left the desert. Asher haya lo makom zera nosnei pri v'hanaharos. There were no fruits growing in the desert. There were no streams of water in the desert. V'lokach l'zikaron zeh. So to remind us of the fact that we have Hakaras HaTov, that the Ribbono Shel Olam brought us out of the desert into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to take a Pri Eitz Hadar, a beautiful, beautiful fruit, and also Arvei Nachal. He also commanded us, among other things, to take the Aravos. What are the Aravos? They're referred to in the Chumash is Arvei Nachal, as willows that grow by the stream. Why is it so important that they grow by the stream? The halacha is, even if they don't grow by a stream, they're still considered to be kosher. The idea is, says the Rambam Mar Nevuchim, we're supposed to remember that when we're in the midbar, we didn't have nachalos. We didn't have we didn't have streams. We didn't have rivers that were flowing. There wasn't a ready source of natural ready source of water that we had while we're in the desert. We had the Be'er that provided drinking water, but there's still something to be said for having a nice river, a nice stream by you. So when we come into Eretz Yisrael, and it's a beautiful Eretz Chito Sa'ora, it's a land, you know, Eretz Necholim, Yamim Necholos, you know, it's a place that has these beautiful sources of water. So we should be thankful for that. We should remember that. And the way we're going to remember that is to take these Dalet Minim. The Abar Benel, in his commentary on Parshas Emor, says a similar thing based on the idea from the Mor Nevuchim. So says Rav Waldenberg, so the whole reason of the Rambam only makes sense once Klal Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael. The whole point of Dalet Minim is to remind us how Hashem took us out of the Midbar and brought us to Eretz Yisrael. So according to the Rambam, it wouldn't make sense to take the Dalet Minim while Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar. It just, you know, you're expressing thanks for something that hasn't quite happened yet. So, you know, it says the Tzitz Eliezer, that part of Rabbi Veltz's idea is very, very reasonable. Not that they couldn't find the Minim in the Midbar. You know, the Midbar wasn't an absolute desert. It's not as if there wasn't anything that grew there whatsoever. In theory, perhaps, they could have gotten the Dalet Minim in the desert, especially Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Yuma, that there were merchants who were floating around in the desert, and Klal Yisrael bought food from them. So, okay, so they could have bought Dalet Minim as well. You know, there was probably some guy in the desert on the corner of Essex and Canal, you know, selling Dalet Minim. Presumably they had somebody like that. So they could have gotten the Dalet Minim in the desert. The reason that it makes sense to say that the mitzvah Dalet Minim only applied once the Jews got out of the desert is because the whole point of the mitzvah, according to the Rambam, is to give Hakar Satov for coming into Eretz Yisrael. So how are you going to do such a mitzvah before you go into Eretz Yisrael? Regarding the sukkah, the Tzitz Eliezer quotes one of the late Rishonim who makes the very point that Rabbi Veltz makes for a different reason. The Mabit in his Beis Elokim, one of the classic Machshavas Svarim of the Middle Ages, the Mabit writes that perhaps the mitzvah of sukkah did not apply while the Jews were in the desert. Now he writes it for technical reasons. What's the technical reason? We know there's a psul of sukkah agabe sukkah. If you have a sukkah and something else is on top of it, so the bottom sukkah is going to be posel. So the Mabit in Beis Elokim says perhaps any sukkah that they would have built in the Midbar would have been posel by definition because you had the Anoni HaKavod on top of it. So in other words, ironically, you know, here the sukkahs are built to commemorate the Anoni HaKavod, and the Anoni HaKavod are actually passeling the sukkah. So be that as it may, again, one might be able to answer that question. Maybe Anoni HaKavod are not considered to be a hefsek, the same way that a tree would be or that another sukkah would be. I don't know what the nature of the Anoni HaKavod was exactly. But certainly the concept of why build sukkahs if the whole point of the sukkah is to remember the Anoni HaKavod, but we actually have the Anoni HaKavod, that's a very reasonable idea. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, in the end of the day, he thinks that Rabbi Veltz and his suggestion might be on target, that Taka, the Jews, were not chayiv in sukkah and Dalet Minim while they were in the Midbar, and that very fact might account for the idea that in the Psukim and Parshas Emor, the mitzvahs of Dalet Minim and Sukkah are set off from the rest of the description of the Yom Tov of Sukkos because there was a period of time, 40 years, where there was a celebration of Sukkos that didn't necessarily involve a mitzvah of Sukkah or a mitzvah of Dalet Minim. So you'll ask, okay, so how can you call the Yom Tov Sukkos? I mean, the Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkos, right? You're supposed to celebrate the Yom Tov of Sukkos. What does it mean to have a Yom Tov of Sukkos that doesn't have a mitzvah of Sukkah? So I don't know that that's the most difficult kasha. It's called Chag HaSukkos, perhaps Al Shem HaOsid, based on the way it's going to be in the future. In the future, the Yontiv of Sukkos is going to be, this Yontiv is going to be a Yontiv that's characterized by the building of Sukkos, even though right now it's not a mitzvah. It is striking that the first two times in Chumash that the Torah refers to Sukkos in Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisiso, respectively, when the Torah talks about the Shlosh Regalim, the Torah doesn't call it Chag HaSukkos. The Torah over there in both places calls it Chag HaOsif. It's the ingathering holiday. So one might argue that in those two places where the Yontiv is first mentioned, the Yontiv is referred to by the name that it had in the Midbar period, the Chag HaOsif, the time of ingathering. And the reference to the Yontov being Chag HaSukkos, which starts in Parshas Emor, continues in Parshas Pinchos, and Parshas Re'eh, those references are all Al Shem HaOsid. Those are all references that are only going to be relevant in the future, when Klal Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael, and they actually have a mitzvah of building sukkahs. That's one possible way of understanding the usage of the term Chag HaSukkos. But perhaps there's another way of understanding the term Chag HaSukkos, even if we assume, like the Tzitz Eliezer wants to suggest, that the mitzvah of sukkah didn't apply while the Jews were in the Midbar. There's a famous cheshbon that's made by the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Shir HaShirim, where the Gaon treats the question, why is it that Sukkot is celebrated in Tishrei? Right? If Sukkot are meant to commemorate the Anani HaKavod, so the Anani HaKavod enveloped the Jewish people as soon as we left Mitzrayim. So really the Yontif of Sukkot belongs in Nisan, it doesn't belong in Tishrei. So they asked this kasha before the Gra. The most famous Gadol to ask this question was the Tur. And the Tur writes, you're right, the Yontif of Sukkot really by right should have been in Nisan, but it's observed in Tishrei because in Nisan the weather is pleasant, and if people go outside and they sit outside, people think, ah, that's just outdoor dining. That must be some kind of New York City thing. But if people are sitting out in Sukkot in Tishrei, when already the weather is starting to get a little bit colder, so then people recognize that it's being done l'shem, remembering, you know, the fact that we had the Anani HaKavod when we left Mitzrayim. That's the Torah's famous answer. The Gra gives perhaps an equally famous answer, and he says as follows: after the Chet HaEgel, the Anani HaKavod were taken away from Klal Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur and brought down the Luchos Hashnios, the second set of Luchos, that was the day on which Klal Yisrael were forgiven for the sin of the Ego. And they started at that time gathering the materials to start putting the Mishkan together. And the Gra makes a cheshbon, he calculates that basically they had within the next couple of days they gathered the materials to start rebuilding, to start building the Mishkan. And when they finished that process, the Anani HaKavod returned. So the Gra makes a cheshbon, he calculates that the Anani HaKavod might have been granted in Nisan. They originally were given to the Jewish people in Nisan, but they were restored to the Jewish people on Tesvav Tishrei. And as such, we observe Sukkot on Tesvav Tishrei as a commemoration, not of when the Anani HaKavod were given originally, but when the Anani HaKavod were restored to Klal Yisrael. So in other words, it's not haphazard at all that the Torah marks Tesvav Tishrei as the day on which the Anani HaKavod, the day on which we commemorate the Anani HaKavod. It's not a random date. That was the date on which the Anani HaKavod came back to Klal Yisrael. So writes the Gra on Shir HaShirim. If we accept that, so then I think the following could be said very, very reasonably. It may be true that the Jews did not physically sit in Sukkot during the 40 years that they were in the desert, as per the Tzitz Eliezer. However, they did observe the Yontif of Tesvav Tishrei as what? As a time of giving thanks to Hashem for the restoration of the Anani HaKavod. What are those Anani HaKavod? Those are the original Sukkot. So in other words, the Yontif could have been called Chag HaSukkos even during the 40 years that Klal Yisrael were in the desert, even if we assume that Klal Yisrael were not sitting in Sukkot during those 40 years, because the meaning of Chag HaSukkos was not the Yontif on which we go out in our backyards and we build a wooden structure. No, that's not what Chag HaSukkos means. Chag HaSukkos means the Yontif on which the Anani HaKavod, the Sukkos par excellence, were restored to Klal Yisrael. That's the meaning of that phrase, Chag HaSukkos, as it appears in the Chumash itself. So again, two ways to understand the notion that the Yontif is called Sukkos. Even if we say that the mitzvah of Sukkah was not applicable for 40 years, the first 40 years of the lifetime of this Yontif, there was no mitzvah of Sukkah. One way to understand it is that the Yontif is called Sukkot HaShem HaAsid, based on the fact that eventually, once Klal Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael, they will be Chayiv in Sukkot. Or alternatively, one could understand it, you know, based on this grunt, Shir HaShirim, Chag HaSukkos means the Yomtiv of the Anani HaKovod. It doesn't mean the Yomtiv of the structures that we're building, you know, our personal Sukkos. It's the Yomtiv of the Anani HaKovod, and it has that status, and it was observed as the Yomtiv of the Anani HaKovod, even when the Jews were not physically putting up Sukkos during the 40 years in the desert, if we assume that that was indeed the case. So as we've explained in the past, this idea that the Tzitzit Eliezer brings out ties into a very fascinating suggestion that the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal made on a halachic level. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that although we have a concept of Yom Tov Sheni that Chazal instituted, that we keep a second day Yom Tov because of what was originally a Sveika de Yoma, a doubt regarding the day, the din of Yom Tov Sheni doesn't apply to the mitzvos of Sukkah and Lulav. Sukkah and Lulav are kind of removed from the concept of Yom Tov Sheni. Now let's just try to understand what that means in practical terms. So the truth is, with regard to Lulav, the Dalet Minim, it's actually a lot easier to understand this idea from Rav Soloveitchik. I mean, witness, the Din D'oraisa of Lulav is only to take Lulav on the first day. Midirabbanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Churban Abayis, extended the mitzvah of Lulav to all 7 days of Sukkos. Okay, fine. So in other words, when we took Lulav this morning, we were being Mekayim a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'oraisa. Fine. Why don't we take Lulav on Shmini Atzeres? It's Kasha the Rishonim ask. Right? In other words, if Shmini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz is potentially the last day of Sukkos, so shouldn't we have to take Lulav and Esrog in order to fulfill the idea of Sveika de Yoma? So the Rishonim give different answers. According to Rav Soloveitchik, the easiest answer might be that there's no din of Yom Tov Sheni when it comes to the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. In other words, we don't make that assumption in terms of Sveika de Yoma. So how do you test that idea? So we know that there's certain dinim that are more, you know, there's certain chumras that we have with regard to taking Dalet Minim on the first day of Yom Tov versus Chol HaMoed. Because the first day of Yom Tov, the mitzvah of taking Dalet Minim is a daraisa, and during Chol HaMoed, the mitzvah of taking Dalet Minim is a mitzvah midirabbanan. So there's certain chumras that we have on the first day that we don't have on the subsequent days. L'mashal, you have to own the Dalet Minim on the first day. There's a psul of chaser, if the Dalet Minim is missing, you know, there's a bite taken out of your esrog, it's posul on the first day of Yom Tov, it's not posul on the subsequent days of Yom Tov. And other dinim, where we're not as, you know, we're more makpid on the first day of Yom Tov than we are on the subsequent days of Chol HaMoed. What's the status of Yom Tov Sheni? Is Yom Tov Sheni like Yom Tov Rishon, that we're makpid for all of these chumras with Dalet Minim, or is it more like Chol HaMoed? So this is a machlokus in the Achronim, but there are many Achronim who say that Yom Tov Sheni is considered like Chol HaMoed. In other words, even though we're machmir for certain chumras when it comes to Dalet Minim on the first day of Yom Tov, those chumras don't carry over to the second day Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. The question, of course, is why not? In other words, if there's a concept of Sveika de Yoma, if we're doing a second day over again, because maybe the second day is really the first day of Yom Tov, why shouldn't all the chumras of Dalet Minim apply to the lulav on the second day Yom Tov as well? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained, that the din of Sveika de Yoma applies only to those things which are part of the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov, not to the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. Sukkah is a little bit more difficult because we do have this din in the Gemara that one is supposed to sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz. Rav Soloveitchik claimed that that was a unique halacha with regard to sukkah and Shmini Atzeres and is not necessarily indicative of the idea of Sveika de Yoma. Rav Soloveitchik also used this idea that there's no Sveika de Yoma when it applies to sukkah to explain the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which many of us follow, namely, that the order of the brachas and kiddush is different the first night of Sukkos versus the second night of Sukkos. The first night of Sukkos, we say Leishev first, followed by Shechiyanu. The second night we say Shechiyonu first, followed by Leishev Basukkah. Again, not everybody does that, but that's the custom as brought in Shulchan Aruch based on the opinion of the Rosh. Why flip it? So here too, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that it might have to do with the idea of Sukkah not being included in the Sveika de Yoma, as it were, of the idea of Yom Tov Sheni. On the first day, so, you know, the idea that it's Yom Tov, the idea that it's Yom Tov, so we say the Zman, the Brach of Shechiyonu, covering everything. On the second day already, although we're keeping the Yom Tov because of the idea of Sveika de Yoma, but that doesn't extend to the concept of Sukkah as a mitzvah in itself. When it comes to Sukkah, we're already keeping the second day, Sukkah on the second day, as if it was Chol HaMoed, not as if it was a Yom Tov itself. Being that as it may, so that idea in Halacha of Soloveitchik goes back and fits in nicely to this idea from the Tzitz Eliezer, namely that the mitzvahs of Lulav and Sukkah may not have always been part of the celebration of the Yom Tov of Sukkos, and hence they're less a part of the fabric of the Kedushas Hayom, and the concept of Sveika de Yoma may not apply to them in quite the same way that it applies to other dinim that have to do with the idea of Sveika de Yoma. Again, so it's a very interesting concept that the Tzitz Eliezer brings out from a historical perspective, and it ties in a very interesting way to Rav Soloveitchik's idea from a halachic perspective. Okay, wish everybody a good moed.